Okay, we were finishing up the Gemara from Gimel Med Aleph. I'm going over to Gimel Med Beis, where the Gemara was discussing the length of bricks and the width of bricks, and the Gemara, in the course of that discussion, brought up the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash that had a Amma Traxin, which was a brick wall between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the first Beis HaMikdash, the dimensions were, it was 30 Amas tall by 5 Tfachim wide. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the ceiling was taller. It was 10 Tfachim taller, the Gemara discussed. So then the base of 5 Tfachim, it was 40 Amas tall, so the base of 5 Tfachim wasn't going to be able to support such a wall. The Gemara said, well, why not just make a wider wall? We can't, because you're not allowed to expand or change. Alter the footprint of the Beis HaMikdash, and making a wall wider is going to diminish the size of one of the other rooms, and you're not allowed to do that. But in the course of that discussion, the Gemara brought up the pasuk from Sefer Chagai, that Gadol Yiyah Kvod HaBayis Hazeh HaAchron Min HaRishon, that the second Beis HaMikdash, the kavod of the second Beis HaMikdash, will be greater than that of the first. In what way was it greater? So that the Gemara has a machlokes about Chad Amar Bebinyan. The Chad Amar B'Shonim. One says in Binyan, because the roof was 10 Amos taller. The other one says in Shonim, because the first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years. The second Beis HaMikdash lasted 420 years. So that's Machlekes. Which way was the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, greater than the first? Because it was taller? Because it lasted longer? However, the Maral, which I asked you to see, has a important question, which is, how can we even call the second Beis HaMikdash greater than the first? Second Beis HaMikdash was missing many things. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma that the second Beis HaMikdash was missing the Aron, the Kapares, the Kruvim, the Eish, Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, V'Tumim. Sach HaKol, five things were missing. Five really important things, right? That's not like, they didn't have Diet Coke. But this is a big deal. That they were missing the Aron, kind of like the Iker Chasman HaSefer over here, the second Beis HaMikdash. These items were not present, they were present in the first Beis HaMikdash, not present in the second. So therefore the Maral asks, how can we even call the second Beis HaMikdash greater? Gadol covered, Gadol Yiyah covered HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. It was a little taller, okay? It lasted a little longer, but it was missing everything that was important about the Beis HaMikdash almost, right? It was missing, they had Karbana still, but it was missing the Aron and the Kapayres, it was missing the Kruvim, it was missing the fire, the Shekhinah, the Ruach HaKadosh, the Ruach Vetumim. All the really spiritual aspects of the second Beis HaMikdash were missing. How can we call that Gadol Yiyah Kavod, Gadol Yiyah Kavod, Bayis HaRishon, Gadol Yiyah Kavod, Bayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon, if it was missing all of these things? So Maral explains that it was greater in one aspect, even though it was missing all these things, in that human beings participated in the creation of the Bayis Shemi. And in that sense, it was kind of focused more, right? It wasn't that it was built in the same miraculous fashion. They kind of built it a little bit more. They participated more in the building of the Bayis Shemi than they did in the Bayis Rishon. And therefore, in a certain sense, it was greater. Im hanivraim look over here. Key on this at the end of the second line. Ki akavod iya yois v'bayis sheni ki hakedusha ha yoyin ha'ein kol kachem hanivraim. Ulefikach lohaya hamikdash ha'echad kol kach gadol. V'lohaya kol kach bezman kama mikdash sheni. So the second base hamikdash. Well, I guess I would rephrase the question like this: how could it be that the second base hamikdash lasted longer? How could it be that it was taller if it was missing all these important things? I guess we could phrase it like that. So it's the same question, but in what way was the second Beis HaMikdash greater than the first if it was missing all of these things? So we said, yeah, but it just lasted longer, it was taller. Who really cares? Well, let's just ask, switch the order of the question and say, well, if these things are important, how could it be that the second Beis HaMikdash had them and the first Beis HaMikdash didn't if the second Beis HaMikdash was missing all of these critical, important items? So Maral explains that it's perhaps because they were a little bit more involved in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash than they were in the first. And in that sense, its Kedusha was more durable and perhaps lasted a little bit longer. I think we could explain the Maral based on something that the Meshech Chachma writes in Parashas Yisroi. The Meshech Chachma there is discussing the Kedusha of Har Sinai. If you think about it, we really have two holy mountains in Judaism. We have the Har Sinai, I mean, I guess it's Hare Ararat, but that's really not that significant, you know, moving forward beyond Noach. But we have, I mean, there's Har Evo and Har Grizin, that's true. But we also have, which is also, you know, important in context, but we have, you know, really two mountains that the importance are stressed even greater, and that's Har Sinai and Har Moriah. Har Sinai, where the Torah was given, and the, you know, and the Beis HaMikdash. However, Har Sinai, its Kedusha was temporary. It didn't last. The Shekhinah came down, descended onto Har Sinai, and then the Kedusha left. Klai, so now, after Maimon Har Sinai, permitted to ascend onto the mountain and do whatever they wanted. You could have a music festival on top of Har Sinai. It's not like a holy site in Judaism. The Har Moriah, the Har Abayis, of course, is not so. The Kedusha remains on the Har Abayis even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Meshech Chachma asks, why this difference? Why the difference between Har Sinai and Har Moriah? You have to know this Meshech Chachma. So Meshech Chachma says that it's because the Kedusha of Har Sinai descended because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael really didn't participate in the creation of the Kedusha of Har Sinai. And therefore, when the Ribbono Shel Olam left, the Kedusha dissipated, went away. It's not as durable because human beings weren't involved in it. You know, we can say, I guess, like easy come, easy go. Right? It came through the Ribbono Shel Olam resting his presence there, and then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu left, the Kedusha left as well. The Kedusha of the Har Abayis, you know, we participated in building the Beis HaMikdash, and in that sense, the Kedusha was man-made. You'll say it's man-made, so it's less intense, less holy. Just the opposite is true. When human beings, ironically, when human beings are involved, whether the Kedusha is as intense or not, that might be a separate discussion, but it's certainly more durable. It lasts. Because it wasn't only precipitated by Kadosh Baruch Hu unilaterally resting his presence on top of our Sinai, it was because we brought the Shekhinah down, the Shekhanti Pesachim. And in that sense, the Kedusha of Har Moriah is a little bit greater, a little bit more durable. So perhaps that's why, even if the Bayis Sheni, I think that's what the Maharal means. Even if the Bayis Sheni was not as intense in terms of its Kedusha, it was missing these five things, it still lasted longer and was taller. Because since we participated in bringing down the Kedusha, like the Meshech Chachma writes regarding Har HaBayis, in contrast to Har Sinai, we participated in the bringing down of the Kedusha, therefore it becomes more durable. So that's why the Bayis Sheni, where we were more participatory, the Kedusha lasted, you know, even longer than it did during the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon. Rav Soloveitchik has a similar explanation of the difference between the Kedusha Rishon at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha Shni at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has a big machlekes throughout Shas, whether Kedusha Rishon a Kitcha L'Shaita v'Kitcha L'Asalavai, or Kedusha Rishon a Kitcha L'Shaita v'Loi Kitcha L'Asalavai. Did the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, does it endure, you know, on the Har Abayis, even after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, or does the Kedusha not endure on the Har Abayis after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed? That's a machlekes in the Gemara. Kedusha Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asalava Kitcha L'Shaita, while the Beis HaMikdash is there, of course it's holy, but Lo Kitcha L'Asalava, it doesn't, you know, last beyond that. The Rambam distinguishes. The Rambam posits, the Gemara doesn't draw a distinction between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam does. The Rambam says the first Beis HaMikdash was Kitcha L'Shaita V'Loi Kitcha L'Asalavai. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Har Abayis lost its Kedusha. After the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Rambam posits Kitcha L'Shaita V'Loi Kitcha L'Asalavai. And not only the Har Abayis, but all of Eretz Yisrael retained its Kedusha. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it lost its Kedusha. All of Eretz Yisrael, really. And then after the second Beis HaMikdash, though, it retained its Kedusha. So Rambam tries to explain what the difference is. He says, well, the first Kedusha was Kedusha de Kibush, because Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael. You conquer Eretz Yisrael, what happens if it's conquered from you? So the Kedusha vanishes, it dissipates, you know, disappears. The second Kedusha was not because of Kedusha based on Kibush, on conquering, which could be undone through defeat at war. It was because of Chazakah. They came, they seized it, and seizing, seizing it doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't dissipate when it gets seized from us. Why not? And everyone struggles to understand the Rambam. What's the difference between Kibush and Chazakah? Where do you get this distinction from? quite complicated to understand. And there's a lot to talk about in that Rambam. It's at the end of Perek Vav of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. But the Rambam draws that distinction, whatever it is, between the Kedusha Rishayna and the Kedusha Shniyah. Kedusha Rishayna was Kitchel Shaita V'loi Kitchel HaSalavai. It did not endure, it did not last beyond the Korban Beis HaMikdash. However, the second Kedusha did last. For that reason, by the way, the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam that perhaps Kedusha Shnia maybe, you know, also doesn't necessarily have the same meaning in terms of beyond the Korban Beis HaMikdash. That's why there's a discussion in the Rambam and the Rambam about walking on the Arabais today. The assumption is, according to the Rambam, that the Kedusha of the Mikdash certainly was Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel HaSalavai. And therefore the Harabais is all the restrictions that it had at the time of the Beis HaMikdash was in existence. According to the Ravid, it's unclear. The Ravid doesn't say it's permitted, but the Ravid says, HaNichnas L'Sham Ata Ein Bo Karis. Person walks in now, even though he's Tameh, he doesn't get Karis. So that's why you have different Rishonim discussing what was the practice throughout the Jewish history. Was it like the Rambam or like the Ravid? Did Jews who were Tameh enter into the Harabais? Did they not enter into the Harabais? There are different historical accounts in the different Rishonim who traveled to Eretz Yisrael. Not all the Rishonim had access to Eretz Yisrael. Was Eichel to travel there, but some who did. There are different historical accounts. Did they ascend to the Harabais? Did they not ascend to the Harabais? The Mishnah Brura, which is, you know, obviously hundreds of years after the Rambam, writes in his Likutei Halachos and is quoting the Mishnah Brura as well, that we should be machmir, it's a suffix deiraisa, the Rambam and the Rivei, we should be machmir, that a person should not go onto the Harabais unless he is sure that he is not tummy with one of those tumas that is prohibited to be on the Harabais. So therefore, the Mishnah Brura effectively paskins like this, like the Rambam. And that's how many assume today, of course. You don't go onto the Harabais if you're tummy unless you went through the proper steps and make sure you don't have the tuma that are prohibited to be on the Harabais. But this was a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes Rishayna Metapaskin, was the Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel Hashayitav, the Kitchel HaSalavai was a Kitchel Hashayitav, Eloi Kitchel HaSalavai, and the Rambam is his distinction between the Kedusha Rishayna and the Kedusha Shnia. The Rambam explains the difference because one, the first Kedusha Rishayna was because of Kibush, conquering. When it's conquered from us, the Kedusha dissipates, it vanishes. And the Kedusha Shnia was because of Chazakah. We seized it, and therefore it didn't vanish. But that explanation needs explanation. What's the missing Kibush and Chazakah? Just because we seized it, someone else seizes it from us, it should disappear as well. So Salavechik a few times offered different explanations of this Rambam. Many do. Briskers love this Rambam and offering different explanations for the Rambam's talking about the difference between Kibush and Chazakah. Salavechik did a few times in a bunch of different directions. But one of the distinctions the Rav suggested in one of the Yartzeit Shirim, Shechter quotes in a few places, is that perhaps it's because in order to have Kedusha, you have to have Torah. You cannot have Kedusha without Torah. This is a Yesod that is developed by the Nefesh HaChaim, all the way at the end of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Shad Dalet Perek Lamed. He's discussing Gemara and Masechtas Megillah. The Gemara says, what do you do with mitzvah after you're done with it? Chever, what do you do with the Elul Levein Yesrig after you're done with it? You threw it on top of the Yaron, like good Jews. What happens to the lulavim that are on top of the yard? Anyone there ever to clean up the mess? What happens? Do you think that the already eats them? Yeah, we burn it. We wait till... You think your lulav, your hadas, and your ravas with all their leaves and all the garbage that's there is just going to remain enshrined in the Aron until Erev Pesach, and then we'll take it down and won't create any mess at all. It'll look exactly like it did when you put it up there. What do you think? If you look at it 2 weeks after, most of your shuls, if they let you do this, which in most young Israels, I don't think they let you do it anymore. High-mission shuls, they let you do it. In my shul, against my wishes, they let them do it. I don't like it. Because in the end of the day, it creates a huge mess. It's a huge mess. It's great for everybody. Done with my lulav, throw it over there, and someone else will worry about it. But it creates a huge mess. The leaves start falling off, and then it gets into the yard, and then it rots, and then bugs come. It's disgusting. So what do you do with it? So I always tell the gabbai, we let them do it. The minute everyone leaves shul, we take them, we put it in a garbage bag, and we throw it out. So I end up having to clean up your mess. I'm a custodian now. But the Maisa, are you allowed to do that? You're allowed to take, what do you do if a tzitzis string rips? What do you do with an old pair of tefillin? What do you do with old svarim? So old svarim, old tefillin, we know, require geniza. Tzitzis string, a little complicated. Somewhat different than other mitzvahs. But for the most part, other mitzvahs, what do you do with other Judaica? When you're done with them, what do you do with the Kiddush cup after it's become dented and whatever, gross? What do you do with it? What do you do with a mitzvah item when you're done with it, with the lulav and an esrig? So you can really throw it in the garbage. That's the Gemara Masechtas Megillah. Tashmishe mitzvah la'achar zman mitzvasan, after you're done with them, nizrakin. We don't throw it in the regular garbage with the banana peels and the eggshells because it's not nice. So you're supposed to take it in a separate bag and throw it away in the garbage in a separate bag. So we take the lulavim and the asrogim, we put it in a separate bag, and we throw it out after Sukkot is over. That's what you're supposed to do. Tashmishei kedusha, mezuzis, tefillin, that required keniza. What's the difference between tashmishei kedusha and tashmishei mitzvah? How do you know what's what? The Gemara doesn't tell you the rule about which, you know, what it takes to fit into one category or the other. So Reb Chaim Volozhin explains in Nefesh HaChayim that if there's Torah there, tefillin, mezuzas, svarim, that's tashmishei kedusha. You can have kedusha if you have the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam there. Tashmishei mitzvah is whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not present. Look over here, always Dali he writes, ki gam ki kedusha svar ha-mitzvah she taskin oira, always the devil, chavis asher boi, even though mitzvahs create a great amount of light, it's only there for that time. When the mitzvah is done with them, when the mitzvah is done, hakadosh of our mitzvah mistalek mehem tekev v'nisha kabrishayna, goes back to being what it was before. If Torah is there even once, kedushas Oilam, Tiyelo Vinisha Tamu Kedushasai. It retains its Kedusha forever. That's how Shechter explains in his Sefer Eretz Hatzvi, based on this comment of the Nefesh HaChaim, why it is that there's a mitzvah Kfuras Hameis for a Jewish Meis. There's no mitzvah Kfuras Hameis for a Ben Noach. No mitzvah Kfura formally. No Iser Loisolin Nivlaso Eitz Ad Boiker. Iser Loisolin. We have to bury Mason for two reasons. There's a mitzvah of Kuras HaMeis and there's an Isser of Halonas HaMeis. Those are two separate things. So you have to bury a Jewish Mason for those two reasons. Neither one of those apply to B'nai Noach. Why not? So the Rav Shechter explains that it's because even if a B'nai Noach fulfills all the Sheva mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, he doesn't learn Torah. So after his life of being, I guess, you know, a B'nai Noach who's Shema, the Sheva mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, he's Tashmishei Mitzvah, L'achaz Ma Mitzvah, son, on his rocket. Okay? But Jews learn Torah, Tashmishei, they have the status of Tashmishei Kedusha, right? The Gemara says a person who sees, you know, who's present at the time that someone else passes away, any Yid Kosher, Adam Kosher, has to tear Kriya like he saw a Sefer Torah Shenisraf, like he saw a Torah burning up, because a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah, a Lebedika Sefer Torah, a live Sefer Torah. How is the Jew a Sefer Torah? Because he learns Torah. So in that sense, when a Jew passes away, he's like, Tashmishei Kedusha. Tashmishei Kedusha, L'achaz Ma Mitzvah, and that is Rakin, they require Geniza. So that's why you can't really bury. You know, we need separate Jewish cemeteries. Why do we need separate Jewish cemeteries? Because Jewish bodies, Tashmishei Kedusha. Ben Noach is Tashmishei Mitzvah. It was used for mitzvahs, but he didn't learn Torah. So two separate ideas entirely.
A Jew doesn't learn Torah.
I'm sorry?
A Jew that doesn't learn Torah. You assume that every Jew learns Torah?
Yesh Shishim Riba Oisios Torah. Every Jew has his letter of Torah. I don't know. What happens to the letters of Torah of the Jews who never realize theirs? Is it lost? I don't know. Good question. But that's the general principle. How it applies to all these other extenuating circumstances, I don't know. That's the general principle. Getting back. Okay, so you need Torah. In order to have Kedusha, you need Torah. That's why Salvechik wrote in the, said in the Yahrzeit Shir, that's why, of course, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was an Aron. What happened to the Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash? Where's the Aron today? So what happened to it? It's a machlokes in the Gemara, in Yuma. One opinion is that it was sent into exile in Bavel. The other opinion is that it was Nignaz in a cave beneath the Harabayas, inside the Harabayas. It's my colleagues in the Gemara Numa. Interestingly, the Rambam paskins one way. Strange. It's a historical debate. What happened to the Aron? Was it sent away into Bavel, or was it buried in the Harabayas? Look over here, Oizvav. No, Oizhei. The Rambam paskins in Perek Dad of Hilkos Beis Bechir Ovecha Aleph. Ube'ei Shabana Shleimah Zabayas, V'yadah Shesefu Licharev, Shleimah Melech, knew that the first place to make this wasn't going to last forever. Bana by Malkam Lignois by Ha'aron Lamata. He built a vault for the Aron, b'matmonios amukois v'akalkolois, deep within the recesses of the Harabais. V'yoshiyoa Melech, who was alive, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, Tziva v'ganza b'makom shebana shleima. He put it in this vault inside of the Har HaBayis. Why does the Rambam paskin this historical issue? It's a strange thing to paskin. So Soloveitchik explained, because according to the Rambam, you cannot have a Bayis Sheni without an Oren. You cannot have Kedushas Beis HaMikdash without an Oren. If there's no Torah, there's no Kedusha. So there had to be an Oren there. The Rambam felt you can't discuss a Kedusha of Bayis Sheni without an Oren. So the Rambam said, well, where was the Oren in the Bayis Sheni? It was buried in the Har HaBayis. Why'd it have to be buried in the Har HaBayis? Because without that, you can't have Kedusha. What creates Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, which we'll get to in a second, is the Oren in the front. Without the Torah, without an Oren, there's no Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Just like there's no Kedushas Beis HaMikdash without the Oren. So what endows something with Kedusha is Torah. What was the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Isai? If you can't have Kedusha without Torah, what was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael? So Soloveitchik explained, well, when Yeshua came to conquer the land, what went with them out to battle? The Oren. So they walked around with the Oren. The Oren was the Mekadesh for Eretz Yisrael. That's what endowed it with Kedusha. That was the Torah that triggered, that sparked the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's good, Bizman. You know, the first Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha Rishayna. But that Kedusha left after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Who, you know, reclaimed Eretz Yisrael, occupied it again? The Chalutzim, the pioneers at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, who came back. Yeah, but where was their Torah? What Torah did they endow Eretz Yisrael with? They didn't have the Oren. The Oren was put into Geniza. By Yoshua Melch, at the end of the Tkufa Bayis Rishon, what was the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael the second time? So Soloveitchik explained it was the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Because at that point already, Ezra started the process of not only writing down the Torah Shebasav, that was the Avodah of Moshe and Yeshua. Now, at the time of the Bayis Sheni, was the Torah Shebaal Peh. Nevi'im had already concluded, as in Nehemiah, the end of the period of Nevi'im, and now the Bayis Sheni began the period of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So what was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, the second time around, not the Torah Shebichsav, but the Torah Shebaal Peh. Oh. So if Soloveitchik said, listen carefully. What was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael the first time, Torah Shebichsav? What was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael the second time, Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebichsav, we're not involved with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, and he transmitted to Kol Yisrael, but he was speaking mitoch Greino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. By Torah Shebaal Peh, we're involved with developing Torah Shebaal Peh, applying the rule, the Yukim HaMidah Shatar Nidresh Abraham. Since we're involved in it, Soloveitchik explained, it's more durable. It's more durable. So that's why, as opposed to Kedusha of the Torah Shebichsav, that's less durable. So for that reason, look at Torah Shebaal Peh. It's durable throughout a long galus, you know, prolonged and painful galus. Torah Shebaal Peh is the primary Torah that we spend our time learning. So the Torah Shebaal Peh is more durable than the Torah Shebichsav. Why? Perhaps because the Meshech Chachma told us, when people are involved in creating Kedusha, yes, it's not as intense as the Kedusha of the Ribbono Shel Olam unilaterally, but it is more durable. It's more durable. And that's why Kedusha Rishayna was Kitcha L'Shaita V'Loi Kitcha L'Asalove. The first Kedusha of Yeshua was intense at the time, but then it dissipated when we lost Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha Shnia was Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asalove. Because what Torah triggered, sparked the second Kedusha, not the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which we were involved in. And that kind of Torah is more intense, perhaps, than the that kind of kedusha is more intense than the kedusha of the of the Torah of the Torah Shebichsav. Maybe I thought to apply this Meshe Chachma to a famous medrash. I have this in my sefer. To a famous medrash, the medrash says all the yamim tayvim will be batei alas elavai with the exception of two of Purim and Chanukah. That's not to be confused with the statement of the Gemara that all of the books of Tanakh, right, a lot of them won't be read anymore except for Gilas Esther and all of that. However, the Medrash, Rambam never quotes this, that all the Yom Tovim will be batel, vasalava chutz mechaniko Purim. There's two gears in the Medrash. One gear says only Purim, one gear says Chanukah and Purim, whatever it is. Chanukah and Purim are, you know, more durable than the other Yom Tovim. Why? Why? Why are Chanukah and Purim going to last less than Lovay and not Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos? So perhaps the answer is because we did nothing to create Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. We didn't even want it. He had to force it on us. Pesach, Sukkot, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yilochem Lochem, you know, Atem Tacharishon. Kadosh Baruch Hu put us in Sukkot. We didn't do anything. I mean, we were there. I guess we didn't fall to the 50th, you know, gate of Tumah and Mitzrayim, and, you know, pat ourselves on the back for that. But we didn't do much. You know, we got out of Mitzrayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu helped us and took us out. What about Chanukah and Purim? Chanukah and Purim, we played a critical role. Chanukah, we fought the battle. Purim was all us. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu helped us, but of course, you know, the Mordechai and Esther played a critical role, as did the rest of Klal Yisrael. So those Yom Tovim, we were involved in ourselves. That's different than Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. And perhaps that's why Lasid Lavoi, those Yom Tovim will be built. Hashem gave it to us, you know, it'll go away. However, the Yom Tovim and Purim and Chanukah, that remains with us because we participated in precipitating those Yom Tovim. Maybe. So maybe that's the answer to Maral. Again, the Maral really asks us to think about this statement of the Navi Chagai of Gadol Yeh Kvod Habayis Hazeh HaAchra Min Arishon. The covet of the second Beis Hamikdash was greater than that of the first, either because it lasted longer or because it was taller. How could that really be? You know, why was it taller and lasted longer if it was missing all these critical components? And perhaps the answer is because we participated a little bit more in the Bayis Sheni even than in the Bayis Rishon. Like you see by Kedusha Shnia, as opposed to Kedusha Rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna was the Torah Shabbat Saf, Kedusha Shnia was the Torah Shabbat Peh. You know, that, because every Kedusha needs a Torah that's behind it, and was the Torah Shabbat Peh. We participate more in the Torah Shabbat Peh than the Torah Shabbat Saf. Maybe that's why the Kedusha Shnia is Kitchel Lashaita, the Kitchel Lashaita, it lasts longer. Maybe that's why Second Beis HaMikdash was taller and lasted longer as well, because we were involved a little bit more directly in the building the Bayis Sheni than in the building of the Bayis Rishon. Maybe. Rav Shechter and the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon has a different explanation of this pasuk. Gadol Yeh Kvod Habayis Hazeh HaAchrein Min Arishon. He's really working off a question that the Rishonim struggle with in their debates with the Christians in the Middle Ages, which was, you know, the Ramban and his school unfortunately got caught in debates with Christians. So there are a few riots. They brought riots, what they called riots. That they were right. So one of the riots that they had, that Mashiach already came, was from this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Gadol Yeh Kvod Habayis Hazeh HaAchron." The second Beis Hamikdash is called Achron. That's it. Over. Mashiach came. There's no more third Beis Hamikdash, guys. It's over. First one, you know, second one, and that's it. Now we moved on to something new and improved. So that was the argument that they made to the Ramban, to the Rashba. Don't you see that Mashiach already came? It's over. This is the last one, Ha'achron. So the Rashba argues Achron doesn't mean last. Achron means next. Acharon, Acharon, Chaviv. That's if it's two Achrons. One Achron doesn't necessarily mean last. How do you know? Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. The Pasuk says when they came, Yaakov and his camp came to meet Esav. So Pasuk says, he placed the Shvachas and their children first. Vesleya Viladea Acharonim. Vesrachov Yosef Acharonim. Yosef and Rachel came after them. What do you mean Acharonim? The Shvachas, right? He presented his whole camp, his whole family to Esav. So first came the Shvachas, then came Leah and her children Acharonim, then Yosef and Rachel Acharonim. What do you mean? How can you have two Acharonims? Because Acharonim doesn't mean last. And then Yaakov was behind all of them. Acharonim doesn't mean last. Acharonim means next. That's it. So that's the Rashba responded that way to the person he was debating. So he said, no, you're talking about language of Bnei Adam. You know, it's describing the way that they came and presented themselves before Esav. But that's not the way a Kadosh Baruch Hu or a Navi would speak. That's the way people speak. They say Acharonim, Acharon, Acharon Chaviv. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't talk that way. The Navi wouldn't talk that way. So he said, you don't have a Raya. They dismissed the Raya. However, so then the Rashba said, no, I see, I proved to you a Kadosh Baruch Hu talks that way. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Shmos, he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu says they're not going to listen to me, so Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, perform a few signs and wonders, and then the people will listen to you. So he says, V'hayim lo yaminu lecha. If they're not going to listen to the first, sign. V'aminu akol ois ha'acharon. They listen to the next one, to the next sign. It wasn't the last ois Moshe Rabbeinu performed. There were many. But it was the next one. So you see, even in the speech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acharon means next, not last. And that's how the Rajba responded to this criticism, perhaps, you know, and there were those who were trying to disprove Yiddishkeit. It is a problem, though, right? Acharon could mean next, I guess, right? I suppose, yeah. But the Rajba has enough proofs. But acharon also could mean last. So why is the second Beis HaMikdash called the last Beis HaMikdash? So if Schachter explains, I'm sure it's not his, I'm sure it's somewhere else you could find this, but based on the Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara in Masechtas Yuma Daf Tes, we know this Gemara, comments, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Gemara says, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Come on, we know. Three Averis HaChamuros, Skiwe Rasifa Dezar Shvichus Domem. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam. Sounds like, if there had been no Sinas Chinam, the second Beis HaMikdash could have lasted forever. That's what it sounds like. So that Gemara, Masechtas Yuma, look over here, Ois Vav. Reish Lakish says, had the first Beis HaMikdash they not sinned, it would have lasted forever. And not only did they not sin with Sinas Chinam, if they would have come back at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, en masse, when Ezra and Nehemiah called them, guys, we're going back to Eretz Yisrael, they all would have come back, so then the second Beis HaMikdash would have lasted forever. But they didn't come back en masse. They came back with small groups. The immigration was a drip, not a wave. So Reish Lakish quotes the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "Imchay mehi nivna le'atiras kesef." If it'll be a wall, then it'll be like a spire of silver. But if it'll be a door, then it'll be like a board of wood. What does that mean? If you would have made yourself like a wall coming back, meaning like a tidal wave, if you would have been like silver that never rots, now that you came like doors, doors are open and closed. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's closed. So now that you came, you know, intermittently, you came in small numbers, now you're compared to wood, that can rot. So had they come back en masse, the first Beis HaMikdash would have lasted forever. Because they didn't, it was not destined to last forever. It was only destined to last for a small amount of time. Rabbi Yochanan says the second Beis HaMikdash never could have lasted forever. Even if they come back in a wave of immigration, Kadosh Baruch Hu never intended for the second Beis HaMikdash to last forever, because the Pasuk says, Yafto Kimi Yefes V'yishka B'Halei Shem, that the tent of Yefes has to last, you know, has to be, Yefes is beautiful, but it has to be in the tent of shame. The permanent tent, though, is the tent of shame. The always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was to make a third Beis HaMikdash, that would be the permanent Beis HaMikdash, never the second one. So whether it was because they didn't emigrate in mass, or maybe it was never destined to be so, the second Beis HaMikdash was not going to last forever, and perhaps they knew that at the time. They knew that this wasn't going to last. That's why they weren't so depressed. There was no Aron, there was no Urim V'Tumim. They knew that this wasn't a permanent Beis HaMikdash. It was temporary. But the second Beis HaMikdash was ultimately going to lay the groundwork for the third. So in a certain sense, the third Beis HaMikdash is not so much a new Beis HaMikdash, but a continuation of the second, because the second had no possibility of lasting. It was there to lay the groundwork, the foundation for the third. That's perhaps why Chanukah and Purim last forever. The Medrash says all the other Yom Tovim are going to be batel except for Chanukah and Purim. What's so special about Chanukah and Purim? Chanukah and Purim were Yom Tovim that not only were celebrated around the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, but really were laying the foundation for the third Beis HaMikdash. It's not relevant only now. It's relevant for the future as well. Sefer Shechter explains perhaps what the Pasuk means here. And perhaps that's why the second Beis HaMikdash was taller. And maybe that's why it did last longer. It was because, even though it was missing all these important items, because this is not just the Beis HaMikdash, you know, for these 420 years. It was really laying a foundation because, you know, for the third Beis HaMikdash, it's connected to the third Beis HaMikdash. So in that sense, it's greater. Because, even though not necessarily in its current iteration, but because it's laying the groundwork for the third Beis HaMikdash. Either way, the Gemara has two opinions over here, Chevra. Why is the second Beis HaMikdash greater? If it was, particularly if it was missing all these things, either because it was greater in height or because it lasted longer. There's an interesting chakira The Rabbi Yosef Engel has. Rabbi Yosef Engel, yard site just passed. I think I saw it over. Now I get every yard site on someone in my shul sent me every day yard site updates. But they really want to get out of St. Tachman. But Rabbi Yosef Engel has, yard site was just maybe a month ago or something, has a tremendous svarim that he wrote when he was a young man. One of the svarim that he wrote when he was a young man was called Lekach Toiv. There's two that are quite popular, Atzvin Dei Reis and Lekach Toiv. It used to be he was more obscure. It wasn't as well known. Today, everyone knows Rabbi Yosef Engel and the svarim, and they're all in print. It used to be hard to find the svarim and things. So in the Sefer Lekach Toiv, he has a chakira. He says in Halacha, and he mamish goes through Gan Shas like this.
Yeah.
Goes through all of Shas with one chakira. Like 15 times he does this, every one of his things. So it goes through Shas. What is greater? Or what is more severe? What is more, you know, meaningful? Eichos or kamos, quantity or quality? You mean, let's say, I do many small averis, you know, I do a small aver many times. Is that worse than doing a big aver one time? Or I do, you know, I guess one small mitzvah many times, is that greater than doing a big mitzvah one time? What's more? See, he claims it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch with regards to a chayla b'shabbos. What's the halacha? Chavis could come up in a different setting, not in this one that's discussed by the Shulchan Aruch, but it does come up in a different setting. What do you have a chayla who needs meat on Shabbos? I've yet to meet the chayla who needs meat on Shabbos, but must have meat. But okay. You know, any sickness for which meat is the refuah, but chayla needs meat on Shabbos. Huh? No kosher meat left. No more meat. What should we do? We have nevela meat. Go to the store, get nevela meat. Or we could shech the kosher animal. Shech the properly. Shechita b'Shabbos, one of the malachas. Chiyuv skila. What's the prohibition of non-kosher meat? Not chiyuv skila. It's still important. It's a lav. Lav in the Torah. Isur d'oraisa nevela. But not skila. Smaller iser. You can tell based on the punishment. It's a smaller iser. But every time you eat the nevela, every bite he takes will be another avera. The shechting, you shecht one animal, now I have no more averas anymore. So it's one big avera versus many small averas. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, what should you do? Shecht the kosher animal. You should shecht the kosher animal. And others disagree. You know, that's the way we paskin. That could be really for one of two reasons. It could be because Shabbos doesn't exist when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, right? Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos have this kind of relationship. We know that you can't go through Shabbos without a Pikuach Nefesh somewhere in the world. So whenever Shabbos was given with all of its Yisurim, there was a dispensation, a carve-out for Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe that's why you can shech the animal on Shabbos. There's no carve-outs for Nevela. You lav dafka, you have to violate Nevela throughout the course of your life. Shabbos, I don't think there's any Shabbos that goes by that there's no Chilul Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh. Somewhere in the world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Shabbos, it was included, was understood, there's Pikuach Nefesh somewhere, human condition, right? People get sick and need immediate care, so you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos somewhere in the world for Pikuach Nefesh. I would venture to say, in every community, every Hatzalah, or whatever, ambulance service, whatever you have in your community, but every emergency service has a call at least once on Shabbos if you have a sizable population. So it's impossible to have Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. So Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is hutra. There's no Shabbos when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. So that's why, you know, that relationship is a little bit easier to negotiate as opposed to Nevela. I don't know how often you have to eat non-kosher meat or non-kosher food in order to get a refuah. Why can't we have kosher medicines? I don't know if that necessarily happens every day.
That is the case within itself.
That's the circumstances created it. But that's not the same kind of relationship as Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. That might be Dechuya. Yes, it's true Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha the Easter of Nevela, but Nevela doesn't have a carve-out for Pikuach Nefesh because the two don't necessarily cross paths. Right? It's not the same as Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch Paskin better to violate Shabbos and Shech the animal than to violate Nevela and give him non-kosher meat. Or it could be because many small paper cuts, I'm not calling the veil a paper cut, but many small averus, you know, death by paper cut, is worse than one shechita. Maybe. Interesting chakira that he has. There might be a riot from last week's parasha. Might be arrived from last week's parasha, because the pasuk says Avram Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, and he tells Sarah to lie and say that she's his sister, not his wife. In order to save my life. He says, tell a lie in order to save my life. So Medrash says, Mikan to Medrash Pliya. There's a collection of Medrash Pliyas, meaning like we don't know where the Medrash is coming from or what it's talking about. But the Medrash says, there are certain Darshanim who love Medrash Pliyas, because it's like it's a canvas. You can just paint whatever you want onto the Medrash. But the Medrash says, Mikan shesheich din l'chayla b'shabbos. From the fact that Sarah, Avraham Avinu asked Sarah, Imri na chaysi yagman li tabli v'alech, man chaysi nafshi b'gum alech, Mikan shesheich din l'chayla b'shabbos. What? How do you see from the fact that Avram asked Sarah to lie, so they shouldn't kill him in order to marry his wife, so she's to say that he's his sister, that from here you can shech for a chayla b'shabbos? What's the connection? So the Ksav Sefer writes that it's talking about this scenario where you have this dilemma between shechting a kosher animal for a chayla or eating an avela. Between shechting a kosher animal for an avela, a chayla, or eating an avela. What should you do? Eating the avela has many, many averas, but they're smaller than shechting a behema for a chayla on Shabbos. So what should you do? The one big avera or the many small averas? Which is worse? So he's talking about this dilemma. And what did Avraham Avinu ask Sarah to do? Lie, lest they kill me in order to marry you. So say you're my sister. Why would Paroi kill Avraham Avinu to marry Sarah? You ever wonder? He could have just taken Sarah. Who cares that she's Avram's wife? Who cares that she's Avram's wife? So you'll say, no, they had Gilui Arayas. They knew that. What, there were lines Paro wouldn't cross. Like that far he wouldn't go. He would kill Avraham Avinu, but he wouldn't violate Gilui Arayas. So the Ksav Sefer says, no, Avraham Avinu, Paroi, would have violated Ritzicha, but not Gilui Arayas. It's true. You know why? Because Ritzicha is a one-time Avera. Gilui Arayas is going to be every time he's with Sarah. So he'd rather violate Ritzicha rather than violate Gilui Arayas. So that's why Avraham Avinu knew, they're going to kill me in order to marry you. Why? Because he'd rather violate Ritzicha rather than violate Gilui Arayas, which is, you know, a avera that occurs many times. Now, it's true, in our halachic system, Ritzicha and Gilui Arayas are pretty much on equal footing. But that wasn't the case in regards to Bnei Noach. So the Ksav Sefer says, you see from here, from Paro's logic, he proves that the Shulchan Aruch is correct, that one big Avera is better than many small Averas, from the fact that Paro would have killed Avraham Avinu rather than violating Gilui Arayas with Sarah time after time again. Even though that's a smaller Avera than Ritzicha, he would rather violate the bigger Avera one time than violate the smaller Avera many times. Oh, maybe that's the pshat in the Medrash. That mikan sheshecht on the chayla b'shabbos. You see from here, you shecht the kosher animal on Shabbos instead of feeding the chayla b'nevela meat. From the fact that Paro would have killed Avraham Avinu instead of being with Sarah many times over while she's a married woman. But then Rabbi Yosef Engel has the same chakira, but adjusted slightly, which he claims is what's going on in our Gemara. What's more important in halacha? Something that occurs frequently, or something that's more important? Frequency or intensity? The Gemara has a suffix. Which comes first? Tadir or makudash? Usually a mitzvah that's more frequent comes first. Tadir v'she'enu tadir tadir kaidim. What if a mitzvah is more makudash than the other one? It's holier. It's hard to know what mitzvah is holier than the other, but sometimes it's obvious. Kachim kachim versus kachim kalim. So which mitzvah comes first? Which carbon comes first? The makudash or the one that's tadir? That's an ibaya. That's a question the Gemara has and never is resolved. Tadir and Makudash, which comes first? Tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kaidem, or should it be Makudash comes first? So Rabbi Yosef Engel claims that's this machlekes. What comes more frequently, what comes with more intensity? So he claims that that's the two opinions over here. What's the greatness of the second Beis HaMikdash? Is it defined? What were they arguing about? How long the second Beis HaMikdash lasted for and how tall it was? No. The two opinions in the Gemara is, which is a greater manifestation of the greatness of the second Beis HaMikdash? The fact that it lasted longer, or the fact that it was taller? Is it, you know, in the structure of the building? Look how much bigger it is and more beautiful it is, more intense maybe. Or is it the fact that it lasted longer, greater frequency? That's with greater time. So look over here in the, he thinks that that's what's going on in our Gemara. The machlekes is it ribui hakamos or ribui hazman? The greatness of frequency. I'm sorry, ribui hakamos means the quantity, meaning it's bigger, it's more, or is it ribui hazman, the one that comes more often, the one that lasts longer? So that's machlekes is going on here. Interesting. Oh, little sugya over here. Okay, but let's move on to Gimel Rebbeis. Also, not really Boba Basra topics, but the Gemara discusses destroying a Beis HaKnesses. Look at the two dots. I don't think we need to go through the rest of the construction details of the wall, but. So, Amar Rav Chisda, two dots, Gimel Rebbeis. Lo lister inish Beis Kanishta, adabani Beis Kanishta achris. Excuse me. Person should not destroy, community should not destroy Beis HaKnesses, adabani Beis Kanishta achrisi, until they build another Beis HaKnesses. Why? Ika diyami mishum pshiyusa, v'ika diyami mishum tzuluye. There are those that say because they're never going to rebuild the second, the Beis HaKnesses again if they destroy the first one before they build the second one. You know how construction projects go. I don't know how long they've been building this building over here on 179. I remember when it was a gas station. There used to be a gas station. But they must have closed 15 years ago. This building now finally is, takes them forever to build things. Well, I mean, Xanadu, they were American, whatever, something around the American dream. They were working on since Bria Asylum. That thing.
It's not doing too well.
Huh? Yeah, still. I wish them well. We wish them well. But that thing has been there for. That thing has been there for. The Dairus, they've been working on that thing. So construction projects lag. And the Gemara was aware of that. So Gemara says, don't destroy the first Beis HaKnesses until you have a second one. You're never going to build the second one. You're pushing up nowhere to daven in the interim. What's the difference between them? By the way, this not only applies to a shul. Where Maisha writes in Igros Maisha, this applies to a mikveh too. These are certain essential services. We believe in Judaism, a shul is an essential service, right? The essential services. You have to have a shul. Not only do you have to have a shul, you have to have a mikvah. So Moshe writes, a mikvah should not close in a community without the services of another mikvah nearby, or having, you know, part of the mikvah open, or building the second mikvah first. You know, any kind of essential service in the community, you can't shut down until you know you're going to be able to rebuild it or to keep it functioning in some other way. So Ikad Yamri, the Ikad Bei Kanish Shachriza, therefore you shouldn't destroy the first one until you build the second one. Ikad Yamri Shum Shiyusav, Ikad Yamri Shum Tzuluya, Mai Benayu, Igbenayu, the Ika, and here we have two girsos, the Ika Bei Kanishta Achrisi, there's another shul in town, or maybe they have a satellite in town, or the Ika Dukta Litzluye, there's a place to daven. There's a place to daven. Two girsos over here, what are they arguing about? Interesting, two girsos. The nafkamina is, if there's another shul, or if there's a place to daven. Taisus has the gear, so I think the Ika Makom Litzluye, there's a place to daven. There's a place to daven. If there's another shul, so then no one would hold that there's a problem destroying the first Beis HaKnesses before you built the second one. There's another shul. Push another shul. When is there a dispute? If there's a place to daven, but it's not like a permanent place. There's a place to daven, but it's not a shul. So then, sounds like there's two opinions in the Gemara. Some say, yeah, but you know what? Even though you have a place to daven now, you're still not going to end up building the shul again. That's a problem. Or, you know, but the other one would say it's okay, because the only reason you shouldn't build the second one before you build the second one is because you're not going to have a place to daven. You have a place to daven. But someone could at least argue that that's not the right thing. If you have another shul, why would anyone, you know, argue? And that's what seems to be from the hemchuk of the Gemara, because the Gemara goes on, Merei Maru Mar Zutra, Satri ubani bekaita besitva, ubani besitva bekaita. What did they do? They built a summer shul in the wintertime. Ubani besitva bekaita. And they built a winter shul in the summertime. Now, are Marema and Marzutra taking a side in this dispute? Or are they saying something that everyone agrees to is okay? So, the likely scenario is, you know, the way we would prefer to read the Gemara, is they're not taking a side. Because then the Gemara should have said, Marema Marzutra Paskin, like one of these opinions. Is it Ika Mishum Pshiusa or Mishum Tzaluya? Either because they're going to be negligent and not rebuild the base of the Beis HaKnesses, or because they're not going to have a place to daven. It doesn't sound like Marema Marzutra are taking sides. So it must be what Marema Marzutra is saying everyone agrees to. And that is, if you have another shul, you have another shul. What are you worried about? There's another shul here. There's another shul. So that's how Taisus reads the Gemara. Have a look over here. Taisus, Beikaitu, Beisitva, Habi Kamar Ika Tiyuya. That's as if there's something wrong with the shul, then of course you can destroy it, Vishari. And if there were two shuls, one in the summer, there were two shuls, one in the summer, one in the winter, how would they destroy those shuls? Perhaps it's talking about where they saw something wrong with it. But Nira, they came to the Yishon Beis HaKnesses Acher, Ein Lochush. This is another shul that there's nothing to worry about. In Lo Yibnu Zois, if they're not going to build this one. There's no other shul. So when you have a dispute, why you can't destroy the first shul before you build the second one? Is it because you're not going to build or rebuild the shul? Pshiusah, because you don't have a place to daven. Nafkamina is if you have another place to daven, but it's not a shul. If you have another shul, everyone agrees that it's okay to destroy the first one before you build the second one, and that's what Maremar and Marzutra are discussing about. So Gemara then asks a question, Amalei Ravino Ravashi, Gabu Zuza Umachli, what if you collected money? Can you now, and you put it aside, an escrow, to build a shul? Can you destroy the first one before you build the second one? Amalei Dilma Misrami Hu Pidyon Shvuyim, maybe a redeeming a captive will come along their desk. And they're going to have the havilu. They're going to have to use the money for that. What if Shrigi Livni Vahadri Hudri Umachti Kishure? We have all the materials here already. We bought the materials. It's not just cash. We spent it on the materials. My Amalei Zimin Nesamu Pinyan Shvuyim Mizavli Vahavilu. Maybe going to have to hack the stuff in order to do Pinyan Shvuyim. Iyachi says, if you were Banunami, then even if you built a shul, we have to be afraid a Pinyan Shvuyim is going to come along. Once you sell a shul for Pinyan Shvuyim, you're going to end up selling the shul for Pinyan Shvuyim. Amalei, di rasa de inchi loy mezami. No one ever sells a community building for a Pinyan Shvuyim. Even that far, we don't go. Then Gemara says, when we're talking about we didn't see a crack in the building, where I know I have to rebuild it, lest it fall down, then of course you can rebuild it right away. Like that by Ravashi. Ravashi saw something wrong in the shul. So what did he do? He destroyed the shul. But he did, which sounds like a midas kasidus, he dwelled in the shul until they rebuilt it. To like, he chained himself to the building until they did it. He didn't leave. Even when they put up the sheetrock, he didn't leave till they put the downspouts. What do you call them? The gutters. He waited till they fixed everything, even the gutters. Ubav ben Buta hechi azvile eitz lehurdis. 1 minute, Baba ben Buta gave an eitz to hurdis in order, which we're going to explain the whole mice over here now, to destroy, to fix the base hamikdash, to take it down and then rebuild it. Vamar of chizal alis the inish bei the bade bei kenishta achrisi ba'isema to you a chazima. Maybe the base hamikdash was going to fall down, so he had to tell hurdis to fix it. Maybe the government always pays its debts. You don't have to worry about that, even though they are a bureaucracy. Take forever. They will get it done. They're never going to back out. Right? The best investment is always treasury bonds. If the government says we're going to move a mountain, they're going to move the mountain, they're not going to retract. Okay, so we have to delve a little bit more into the details over here, tearing down a Beis HaKnesses in order to rebuild it. Does that mean you can't, can you do work on a Beis HaKnesses? Can you refurbish it? Do you have to have somewhere else to daven? You have to have another shul? And what's the story of him sleeping in the shul? You allowed to sleep in shuls? Are you allowed to sleep in shuls? Well, you're not allowed to sleep in shuls. House minions, okay. We'll have to discuss house minions.